presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Well, this is what I call an emphatic response to a lot of questions that Georgia fans have had for a while. Where are the big defensive linemen going to come from? How's Georgia going to address this big major need? And I think yesterday on the recruiting trail, the Dogs did themselves a pretty good job of going out there and doing something it really needed to do. Find one of these defensive linemen that have a chance to be a big-time star at the next level. I feel like Jalen Carter brings that to the table and a whole lot more. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel about this a little bit later on. We'll get Jeff's insight here. I just think, though, there is a lot to like about this Carter commitment off the top of the program. First of all, as a defensive tackle, and I think it's cool that he's classified that way. That's the way he's going to play for Georgia as an inside guy, I would say. This is a pretty rare athlete, the four-star young man out of Apopka, Florida. For those of you watching on video, we'll show you. Y'all know I love, and I've said before, that my million-dollar idea is a cable network that shows nothing but football recruits dunking basketballs. Well, Jalen Carter's dunked plenty of those over the course of his time, including a windmill dunk that he throws down right there. There's a lot of these videos kind of floating around the internet of a Jalen Carter dunking. None better than the windmill dunk you just saw, though. This is an incredible athlete. And that dunking stuff, that matters to me. You know, that goes to explosiveness. That goes to the ability to kind of, fire off quickly. And you know, some of that really special athleticism, I think Jalen Carter has really got that. And I think it reminds you a lot to me of the athleticism that a guy like Brian Brzee brought to the table. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Carter's a better player than Brzee, a better recruit, better prospect, but there was a reason why Georgia wanted Brzee as much as it did, just because of the pretty sensational level of athleticism that Brzee also could have shown from the inside position there. Well, I think that Jalen Carter brings a lot of that to the table as well, and it's a pretty emphatic response to missing out on a couple of defensive linemen that Dog fans would have liked to see the Georgia get, and kind of filling that big need for the Dogs. More on that in the moment. There's kind of something else that kind of is at play when it comes to the Jalen Carter stuff. This is another example of Kirby Smart doing something that he's been really good at the past. Kirby seemingly, and sometimes it's kind of hard to know behind the scenes how much of this is real and how much of this is really going on, but behind the scenes is always seemingly a master of timing. Kirby has always kind of, I think, understood that, hey, listen, a lot of the recruiting stuff is about perception. A lot of this is about public relations and kind of how the image of the program appears from the outside. And yesterday, in some form or fashion, Georgia, I guess, lost out on a recruitment that it had been a part of with Justin Rogers. The Rogers story is somewhat complicated. He was a high school teammate of DeJuan Mathis. At one point in time, it seemed like Rogers was well on his way to being a Dog. But then along the way, he decided maybe he wants to play defensive line or maybe he wants to play offensive tackle. I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I've been wrong before, but I think Georgia had Rogers kind of evaluated as a guard. And at that position, I think Georgia really wanted him. You know, when you start talking about different positions and things like that, I think the recruitment gets more complicated. But they did host Rogers on an official visit this past weekend, and shortly on the heels of that, Rogers announced Kentucky yesterday. And y'all know how this goes. Georgia as a program has now risen to the stature that when Georgia gets beaten out for a recruit, it's going to be a big deal to the fan base that beats them out. Matt Jones, who you've heard his reference before from Kentucky Sports Radio, tweeted this out yesterday that Dog Nation announces Georgia never offered Justin Rogers anyway. That's kind of a weird reference to the Eddie Grant stuff and the silliness that came out of Lexington with that a few months ago. But that's also a way of saying, hey, Kentucky, look what we did. We beat Georgia for a recruit. We went out there and took this guy from Georgia. And Kirby Smart's not going to let that news cycle last very long. That whole notion of, oh, Georgia lost out on a recruit to Kentucky. Oh, Georgia, has been, cut and bloodied in the recruiting wars. Frankly, Kirby Smart's not going to let that last very long. Kirby Smart's going to change that news cycle, and instead, what people are going to be talking about is the fact that Georgia got its 10th commitment to the 2020 class, and all of these guys are 4 stars or better, and Georgia's number 5 in the composite team rankings and looking to climb up even more than that. Kirby has been really great at this timing stuff over the years. If he thinks there's some bad news maybe coming in recruiting, then he's going to be right there with some good news on the heels of that, to get people talking once again about the thing that he wants them talking about, and that's one of the things you like about Kirby. However, overall, the most important part of the Jalen Carter recruitment is not the symbolic stuff of how it alters news cycles or anything like that. It's the fact that Carter, a very special athlete, fills in at a position that Georgia really needs. And Kirby Smart, back during spring practice, was pretty candid about this. You know, sometimes Kirby holds his cards close to the vest, doesn't quite tell you how he's thinking, doesn't quite tell you how he's feeling. Other times he's a lot more open and honest. And I think when it comes to the defensive line stuff, Kirby looks and sees how there haven't been enough sacks of quarterbacks. There haven't been enough tackles for loss. That was a big part of the spring practice storyline of, can you create more so-called havoc plays this spring? I've also talked about the need to upgrade the rush defense. A year ago, that was an area in which Georgia was probably not national championship caliber. All of that speaks to having freakish athletes along your defensive line, guys that are tough to block, guys that for whatever reason, either because of size, quickness, or whatever, force those double teams and give offensive coordinators and offensive lines a whole lot to think about. In fact, Kirby Smart, back during the spring, talked about just how much Georgia seemingly needs a player like what Jalen Carter is going to provide for the program when he arrives on campus. Here's Kirby.
Are you saying an elite three technique, you know, guy that's quick and twitchy? We don't have that right now. No, we're certainly trying to recruit it. But we got some edge guys, and when you count the defensive line, you know, you sometimes count the defensive ends. I thought Nolan played with a high motor today.
Yeah, so listen, when you want to bring it into the front seven conversation, Nolan Smith's obviously been a guy like that, and Georgia probably has a lot of those outside linebacker types. But you got to have those guys up front that provide this as well. And for those of you on video right now, you're seeing a little bit of some of the Jalen Carter stuff. And when I watch him closely, quick and twitchy is certainly what he brings to the table and certainly something that seems to describe Jalen Carter's game. We'll get more into this with Jeff Sintel coming up in just a moment. But for me, there is a very simple summation of this entire topic. Georgia got themselves a good win yesterday when it comes to Jalen Carter. When you factor in the stuff that Jeff's recently said about Jordan Burch and kind of all those other rumors that are out there, it seems like Georgia's not done yet when it comes to defensive linemen. And what was a major concern for a lot of UGA fans over the last few weeks and last couple of months, it sounds like Georgia's answering those concerns in pretty emphatic fashion. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And by the way, speaking of DogNation.com, hope you will go there right now, get more information about Dog Nation Days of Summer. And here's what you need to know. As I broadcast live here, it's a Tuesday morning, which means you just have a couple of days left to get in and get registered. How about this on video right now? Beautiful look at Callaway Resort and Gardens. We're going to be on Thursday, June 13th. You've only got a couple of days left to register for your chance to win a VIP stay at Callaway Resort and Gardens with Dog Nation on June 13th as Dog Nation Days of Summer gets kicked off in style. So please go there and do that. Could not be easier to find. DogNation.com. There's a tab right there at the top. Click in on that and get in there. Get registered for your chance to win. The deadline shuts off on Wednesday, and they will not let me extend that. They're shutting that thing off on Wednesday, so get in there and get involved. And, of course, don't forget Dog Nation Days of Summer also going to be, after being at Callaway Resort and Gardens on June 13th, going to be at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa on August 1st. These are incredible summer events, talking football, enjoying some fun in the summertime, and just generally speaking, having a great time. We cannot wait to see you for Dog Nation Days of Summer. Now, by the way, speaking of Dog Nation Days of Summer, these great events are a part of that, but also we're in kind of a relaxed vibe around the show over the course of the summer as well. And for that, for us, that also means our summer Q&A, a chance to interact with you during the regular broadcast time. So I want to take as many questions and comments as I can on today's show and want to set you up to be a part of that as well. So let me give you a preview of our summer Q&A for today, and then we'll take a lot more of your comments a little bit later on once we have more time in the broadcast. Our first question for today, as I mentioned before, I'm pretty sure that for a lot of people who had major concerns about Georgia's defensive line recruiting, by getting a guy like Jalen Carter and by also thinking about what Georgia may still have yet to come at that position, my guess is some of those concerns have now been calmed. Do you agree with that? I'd love to have you weigh in on that. I also got some great feedback yesterday on our D&90 topic and something I discussed with Chip Towers, which was the fact that Pro Football Focus raved about Solomon Kinley. And I kind of called Kinley a bit of an unsung hero, a guy who is seemingly much better than the credit he typically gets from some Georgia fans, almost taken as a given, not the kind of guy that we talk about probably enough on Dog Nation Daily or in other spots where Georgia fans are congregating. Maybe Kinley doesn't get spoken about enough. So in honor of Kinley, who we discussed yesterday, and many of you gave me some feedback on that, who's another Georgia player that doesn't get enough credit for what he does? A lot of these guys go about their business kind of quietly. They get the job done. They don't get the attention. And yet maybe it's time for us to kind of honor some of those guys so you can kind of weigh in on your own version of an unsung hero when it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs. And the third question today is part of our summer Q&A, and we'll take this one a lot coming up a little bit later on. Who has a bigger impact for Georgia this year? Is it the five-star wide receiver, the incoming true freshman George Pickens, or is it the redshirt freshman at running back, Zamir White? Now, the reason why that's an appropriate question today is because of something that Kirby Smart talked about yesterday. Kirby was in Macon. He met with some reporters, then he met with a lot of Georgia fans. And when Kirby spoke to the media, well, he dropped what I can only take as a good bit of good news. Not necessarily all that surprising, but to hear Smart kind of put some official language behind it, I thought was certainly a step in the right direction. Let me start with George Pickens here. The question to Kirby was, hey, do you anticipate everybody who's supposed to be here actually showing up and being a part of this team this upcoming season? That includes Eli Wolf and Lawrence Cager, the two graduate transfers, and includes all the freshmen who were not part of the early enrollee crop. And there were a lot of those this year. There were 14, but that still leaves a host of others. Now, the most interesting name in this potential discussion is the five-star receiver George Pickens, because Pickens is an outstanding player, an outstanding prospect partially, but also, as many of you are aware, and if you watch our comment sections during our live shows, or if you see my Twitter mentions at Dog Nation Daily or the forum at forum.dognation.com, you know there have been a lot of rumors and concerns that maybe Pickens was dealing with some academic issues. Well, I don't know about you, but when Kirby addresses this, I take this to be very good news on the Pickens front. Here's Kirby from last night.
I can't comment on the grad transfers, as we know. So whether or not they'll come or not is really still up in the air. But as far as the other guys, yeah, we got full expectation that everybody will be there in the summer to practice, to compete. All those guys are finishing up kind of right now. They're in their finals, depending on what state they're in or where they are. And I know they're looking forward to getting into our place and starting work.
So listen, as I said before, I take this as really pretty good news in the George Pickens situation. I think there would be a way to sidestep that conversation to, you know, say, hey, I'm not, you know, sure, don't really know. But by throwing the full expectation thing out there, I think that sets the expectation. It should set the expectations for fans that George Pickens is indeed going to be here this summer like the rest of these freshmen. And for a Georgia team that needs that depth at wide receiver, because in a lot of ways, we just talked a lot about the defensive line issues, the offensive version of that probably is the wide receiver position. There are a lot of bodies there, but you need guys to step up and play big, especially after Georgia lost its top three wide receivers, in, at least in terms of receiving yards, from a year ago. That's kind of an important conversation, kind of an important thing to think about, and George Pickens certainly has a chance to answer that emphatically, which is a nice thing to see. And then there's some stuff on Zamir White. First of all, Kirby kind of gave an update on White that's very similar to the things that we've heard in the past. And other former Georgia players like Robert Edwards have echoed on this program about the progress of White being very much on schedule. At first, Kirby Smart offered something similar to that in that vein last night.
Everything's been good. I mean, he's rehabbing with Ron. Ron sends me a video of him running, him doing things. But it's all the things that you guys have seen. So it's not like I'm getting stuff that I haven't seen before. I mean, in spring, he ran, he cut, he caught the ball, he did things. He just didn't have contact. And he's not going to have contact until fall camp. But as far as his attitude, his strength, his all his testing, he's right where he should be and doing what he should do.
So Kirby says he's not going to have contact until fall camp, which causes your ears to perk up a little bit. And now it's a time to kind of drill down on this and get a little bit more specific. So if he is going to have contact during fall camp, does that mean he'll be fully cleared and fully ready to go by the time the summer practices kick off and preparation for the 2019 season? Will Zamir White get that full stamp of approval to be out there and be a part of that? And here's where the real, I think, good news on Zamir White comes in.
Well, yeah, I mean, he would be past time for that. I mean, he would be cleared for that. And we anticipated. I mean, obviously, he's still got to go through the protocol, the testing, and go see the doctors and get cleared. But based on an ACL repair, he would be past the time for that.
So, listen, this is one of those days we're doing Dog Nation Daily. It's a pretty good deal because we get to start the show by talking about a four-star defensive lineman who I think really is a really nice fit for Georgia and a prospect that you really like. And then you kind of roll into Kirby Smart saying, yeah, all the incoming freshmen, we expect them all to be here, which kind of includes George Pickens a bit there too, which for a lot of Georgia fans have been waiting to hear that. And while the Zamir White news is not necessarily surprising, we've heard enough whispers and enough voices around the program saying Zamir was going to be good to go. But to hear Kirby Smart officially say, yeah, he's going to be cleared, he's going to be ready to go, that's going to be past time for that. And I think that sets the stage for Zamir to also have a pretty nice debut season on the field here too. So a lot of good news to start the program. That's a pretty nice way for things to be here on Dog Nation Daily. We'll get your thoughts on Zamir, George Pickens, Jalen Carter, and everything else as a part of our summer Q&A a little bit later on. But on a Tuesday, it's time to get some recruiting information. It's Jeff Sintel. It's our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. We're glad to have all of you with us for Dog Nation Daily today.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Jeff Sintel. Of course, every week here on Dog Nation Daily, Jeff gives us his twist on UGA recruiting, his special brand of information. But when you want chef-inspired food with a twist, you want Marlowe's Tavern. And, of course, you can find out more about the tavern in your neighborhood by texting the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. That's 24242. Jeff Sintel, good morning to you. And my, oh my, how quickly things move when it came to Jalen Carter, the four-star defensive lineman from Apopka, Florida. It was just yesterday in our program that we were reacting to the fact that Jalen dropped his top three, which was essentially, as I joked yesterday, the top three. It was Alabama, it was Clemson, it was Georgia. And Georgia does emerge as the big winner there. Carter drops that yesterday. And, you know, well, one of the things we said a moment ago, Jeff, is when you watch the film for Carter, when you, you know, listen to the buzz around Carter, he almost seems the perfect embodiment of exactly what Georgia has needed, a freakishly good athlete to play the defensive tackle position for Georgia. That really seems like what Carter is, Jeff. How much do you like this fit for the Dogs?
Well, good morning, Brandon. I think Jalen Carter made up his mind quickly enough for your timeline as well, is that right?
Exactly.
You might have been pouring honey potion in his ear or something like that. Like, you know, you've got that top three, you've got it out there, now you need to make another move. You know, Brandon, this is one of those things that sometimes when your music bed comes on before the Marlowe's tell-all appearances on Tuesday, it makes me think, knowing that how much you like George Lucas and his trilogy, that maybe Star Wars might show up sometime as a music bed to open the recruiting segment, because this is a guy, comes in, I would expect him to be trending upwards, and you saw all the glowing industry reports about Jalen yesterday. Everybody started showing the world those tomahawk windmill dunks he did at age 15 at about 260 pounds. Everyone sees that, you know, he's already the nation's number 95 overall prospect, number 10 at defensive tackle. This guy should probably end up a top 5 defensive tackle, a top 60, top 70, top 50 prospect. He's already the 5th highest rated commitment on Georgia's board. And with what I've heard and what I've kind of picked up about Carter, this might have been Georgia's top defensive line target outside of Brian Brazee. So that's a guy that, and I know with you, Brandon, I'm sure, top 10 defensive tackle, check. Athletic upside, freakish, check. Going to be a guy that the Bulldogs can build around to let those backers come free and hunt the football. Going to check up a lot of things, and now Georgia's starting to reload. I know we say this on our platforms a lot, but Georgia's going to graduate and exhaust the eligibility of at least 6 defensive lineman in this cycle, and Georgia's going to have to go heavy again in 2020, much like it did in 2019 for D-line targets.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you mentioned Brian Brazee, and You know, I hate to bring up one that got away, but I also talked about Brazee a little earlier. I really liked Brazee a lot. I thought Brazee really provided what Georgia needed. And to me, Jeff, Carter does remind you a lot of Brazee, or at least reminds me a lot of Brazee, that, you know, we've seen how effective kind of a speedy pass rush can be. I mean, Quinnen Williams, you know, brought that to the table for Alabama a year ago. And I'm by no means trying to say that Carter's going to be the next Quinnen Williams. That'd be too much too early in terms of expectations for him. I'm just saying that that type of player within the SEC has already proven to be successful. And, you know, I see a lot of things about Carter that most recruits just don't possess.
Yeah, it's wise for you there, Brandon, to go away from Quinnen Williams type or whatever. I think we can just say this. This is the type of player who can be the Jalen Carter at Georgia. And what I mean by that is this is a young man with a lot of talent, with a lot of game, who has the ability to make a name for himself between the hedges in Athens. And he could be a guy that future segments, future Marlowe's Tavern Tell-On segments, You'll have me maybe asking in the 2020 season, the 2021 season, where is Georgia going to find another Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I think that's right. Does the presence of Carter here change anything else for anybody? I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk lately about some of the Georgia commits at defensive line, guys like Nazir Stackhouse and Jameel Burrows taking visits other places. Does that intensify that for them? Does this change anything for Jordan Burch, who you and I talked a lot about on Friday? Adding another DL into the mix here, what does that do for the guys that Georgia already has or is rumored to be in the mix for? I guess I'll talk about a Jacoby Cowan, a Jay Hardy, a lot of guys like that. How does that change the board for Georgia at that defensive line position?
Brandon, we say this often a lot, more, maybe even more so than follow the visit. We say Georgia's charge is to sign the very best class of players it possibly can. So if there's a player, if things get complicated with the numbers, and there's a player that Georgia likes a little bit better or likes a lot better, thanks to later junior year, senior year evaluations here, then Georgia's duty to just kind of go search for the biggest trophies and to elevate the program to the biggest possible platforms it can is going to go sign the best 21, 22, or 23 players it can for this cycle. You mentioned Jacoby Cowan. Jacoby Cowan told me that Trey Scott has let him know that he wants to take four DLs this cycle, and you start wondering, okay, is Jacoby Cowan a DL? Is Zacchevious Walker a DL? What about Jameel Burrows? What about Nazir Stackhouse? What about Jalen Carter? What about Big Ten Smith also out there in Florida, another true nose guard type, nose tackle type? I think with that he's talking about interior defensive line prospects, but if you look at the defensive end spots, there's Burch. There's maybe Zacchevious Walker, and then there's maybe a Mikael Sherman that would also play outside on the edge, Mikael Sherman. So they're not going to go really heavy on the edge outside defender for Georgia inside the front seven. And, gosh, why would they with Nolan Smith, Jermaine Johnson, Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox, Aziz Ojulari, Robert Beal? I think that position is scattered, smothered, and covered right now with elite talent.
Let me ask you one more thing on Carter before we talk about some other names, and there is a lot we need to cover today. You know, the video that got passed around last night a good bit on Twitter was of Scott Fountain celebrating the Jalen Carter news here, which leads you to believe there was Fountain that was instrumental in this decision. How does that end up working? What was Fountain more instrumental on this than Trey Scott turned out to be? Any kind of insight you can provide on the UGA assistants that were most influential when it comes to Jalen Carter here?
Well, I think Fountain is the one that's just seen Carter the most. That's the guy that the area recruiter for that area in Apopka, Florida. He was the guy that was actually the area recruiter for Ryan Davis in the 2019 class. I think it's more of a co-branding or a tandem where Fountain and Scott are guys that are both working at that position for Georgia. I think, you know, the final three, when I saw that final three out there in the universe, Brandon, that seemed to me to be a no-brainer with Jalen Carter, because Clemson has definitely filled up its bushel baskets with elite defensive line targets. I think at one time Clemson was very much in the mix for Jalen Carter, but then you've got Alabama as well, and Alabama's always going to be in there. But I kind of like the way things were trending for the Dogs, especially when Georgia had a pair of recruiters at its spring game last Friday, according to a lot of media reports around there about Mr. Carter. I think with Mr. Carter, it was kind of just a question of when and not if. he was going to become one of the defensive line stalwarts in this class for Georgia.
All right, let me try to see if I can cover a lot of information here over the next few minutes. Justin Rogers did choose Kentucky yesterday based on our previous conversations. That's not necessarily a surprise. I stand by my kind of original statement on all of this. I think the Rogers situation's pretty weird and pretty complicated. I'm assuming that Georgia really liked him at the interior offensive line position that they initially had him scouted as. I'm not quite sure how their evaluation of Rogers changed once it became clear he wanted to play a different position, or at least is very interested in playing a different position. So let me kind of ask this question this way. Is it now over between Georgia and Justin Rogers, or do you think that Georgia will continue to float the opportunity to come to Georgia and play the position he's eventually going to play in the NFL anyway, which is offensive guard?
Oh, Brandon, my man, this is sometimes one of the things I like to do during our interchanges every week. I'm going to answer your question with a question. Did you notice any sort of interesting timing, curiosity, when Georgia, when Jalen Carter announced his decision compared to the Justin Rogers decision? I think there's something to that. And, you know, the one thing I'll say is this, is I think Justin Rogers would require a lot of back and forth. Does he come back to Georgia and say, I'm all in at offensive guard? I think those conversations have already, the time limit on those conversations have now already passed. I think Georgia, as much as they like Justin Rogers as an offensive guard, he's still rated there as a five-star. And as much as the Kentucky Eddie Grahams of the world want to claim that Justin Rogers here chose Kentucky over Georgia, I just simply don't feel that's the case. Georgia, as good as Rogers is as an offensive line prospect, has its eyes on guys like Josh Braun, Cedric Von Prawn. They've already got Akiola Gundy in the fold. They're looking at, you know, what they're looking at on the interior offensive line, a guy like Andrew Rain, who could be, I think folks on the Dog Nation Forum have already started calling it the Pittman Army Knife, no longer a Swiss Army Knife offensive lineman. I do like that turn of the phrase from some of those creative types, creative folk there on the Dog Nation Forum. But I think that's what it is, Brad. And I think that ship has sailed. I think he's going to be at Kentucky. I think he's going to do a great job at Kentucky, whatever position he wants to play going forward.
Well, that's certainly very interesting to see, and I guess better Kentucky than some of the places that he could have gone. So we'll kind of leave that at that. Let me mention another offensive lineman, Paris Johnson, who was not at the scavenger hunt this weekend. He was in Nashville as a part of the opening qualifier there, and it looks like he put up pretty good testing numbers. I think Georgia offensive lineman Isaiah Wilson was kind of impressed with that, kind of gave him a little bit of a shout-out on Twitter. There we go. He says, I like it, little bro. That's Isaiah Wilson referencing some of the stuff that Paris Johnson did in Nashville this weekend. Jeff, it certainly seems like, you know, in this kind of elite environment, Johnson kind of looked the part. You mentioned another host of offensive linemen there without mentioning Paris Johnson. Where do you think things stand between the Dogs and Johnson right now?
Oh, man, Brandon. I think Paris Johnson would be a definite addition to the class. I'm sure Georgia would take him. I don't know if Georgia is his top school. I don't feel like Georgia – it doesn't feel to me like Georgia is his top school right now. I think there's more names there, the Andrew Rains of the world, the Josh Bronze of the world. I think Paris Johnson is going to be a highly contested recruitment. Ohio State is kind of dug in really deep. I think he has some true longing for LSU as well. So I think with Paris Johnson, I think Georgia would, as a player, Georgia would love to add the class. I think he's a guy that they would definitely make room for to become a part of this class, but I think that recruitment is going to be a lot of high and tight fastballs and a lot of tough sledding for the next 3 months or so.
I guess what I'm trying to drill down in on here is when we talk about some of the other names that come up, and, you know, Tate Ratledge mentioned one the other day with Joshua Braun, and you know, you talk about Cedric Von Prawn and guys like this. Is this more about, you know, Georgia focusing on those guys because they don't really feel like they're that in it for Paris Johnson? Or is this more about, you know, Georgia maybe evaluating some of these other offensive linemen differently than the recruiting industry has?
Well, I think more we're talking about Von Prawn. I think Von Prawn is the nation's number one center. I think Andrew Rain is the nation's number three guard. I think Josh Braun, as you folks will read on DogNation.com today, I wouldn't take a speck of what the recruiting industry thinks about Josh Braun or does not think about Josh Braun, because he doesn't do any camps. He believes his football life, his football DNA is on his game film. He doesn't do any of that stuff. I think there are great, great many things to like about Josh Braun. His pedigree, his intelligence, both of his folks are West Point Army grads, the unique ways he goes about his training, the unique ways he goes about his process of choosing a school. I just think those are Georgia just being Georgia and going after its top targets. And I don't want to say keeping all the stove eyes burning on as many guys as they can, keeping the heat on as many guys as they can. But I think they have a select group of about 4 to 5 names, maybe 3 to 4 names that they'd love to finish out this class with. You, as well as I know, Brandon, we know that Sam Pittman likes to work ahead, likes to kind of cement a lot of these decisions early. I think Joshua Braun's decision will come sometime mid to late June. That's a guy to start thinking about right now. But in closing, to summarize, because you got items to get to, not time to toe-tag Paris Johnson at all, but definitely time to think about others. And not just to sit, and it's maybe to kind of look conceptually and as the offensive line board as a whole, does it need Paris Johnson Jr. to be a gangbusters, fantastic class? But would definitely still love to have him in it.
It is our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily. Make sure you become a Marlowe's Insider yourself by texting the word Marlowe's to 24242. That's the word Marlowe's without an apostrophe, simply MARLOWS to 24242. And you can find out about special events and special offers happening at the tavern right there in your neighborhood. Jeff, I will tell you that it was great to get a personal shout-out recently in an edition of a Sintel Intel at DogNation.com, the one in which you focused on Jacoby Cowan. It was also very interesting to see something from Cowan in here about that kind of famous tweet he had about wanting to get the scoop from some of those guys that had been at G-Day. And Cowan kind of revealed this to you, which I thought was interesting. Let me read this, if you don't mind. He says about classified information. He says, I'm going to put that conversation say that it was classified, and I'm not going to express everything that those guys said, but I know that each and every one of those guys enjoyed their visit. They had a great time, and they are definitely looking forward to getting back to Georgia. That's the Keely Ringos, the Kendall Miltons, the guys like that, Jeff. Any kind of additional insight into what that secret conversation between all these recruits must have been like?
Well, you see on social media a lot, and, you know, Brandon, this is what you love to follow. That's where you got that shout-out, the online chatter. And you see on social media a lot, you know, Mekhi Sherman's already doing a lot of this. He has said a couple of times, remember what was said with guys like Kay Williams, Avante Williams. He's remembered, he's kind of brought that up with in a couple of instances about remember what was said about personal classified conversation about guys trying to forge something or trying to see if something's there in the class of 2020 for Georgia. You know, kind of in my mind's eye right now, I hear you always coming with the aforementioned toe tag type topic right here. Maybe we need to start looking for glory music or hallelujah music or some organ music from the pipe organ in everyone's favorite church or sanctuary. I think maybe that might be some of those classified conversation details right now.
Since you mentioned Mekhi Sherman, can I ask you one thing about him that I didn't necessarily intend to ask, but since you brought it up, I'm going to, I guess, open that door. I saw where Sherman the other day was referencing, the Jalen Carter commitment, or this was yesterday, not the other day, it was yesterday. And he obviously shouted out Keely Ringo there, which at this point in time is not a huge surprise. But he also mentioned Darian Green Warren, another cornerback who I don't ever ask you about, we don't talk about very much. Is this Sherman doing the bidding of Georgia here, or is this just Sherman shouting out somebody he's friends with? Because obviously we talk all the time about a guy like Ringo, but Darian Green Warren is not a guy we bring up a ton.
Yeah, so Darian Green Warren, it's very interesting. We're getting down on that one. We're drilling down on that one, Brandon, in the forum right now. And one of the things that we're getting at is who's the third or fourth defensive back in this class, and who might be the third, or is there going to be a fourth defensive back in the class? I know you know the name Dwight McLaughlin.
Sure.
I know you know Avante McLaughlin. I know Avante Tay Williams out of Florida. He's a safety that would be a corner at Georgia. He was also at Georgia this weekend for the scavenger hunt. But I think Darian Green Warren, you got to look at him, and he's a guy that's a former Oklahoma commit who backed off it. He's more of that nickel corner type. He's about 6 feet. I think he's the nation's number 11 corner. He's a guy that was at Georgia earlier this year, sat next to Kirby at the basketball game at length. He's a guy to think about there. There's also Chris Thompson Jr., another more of an Otis Reese type safety, a big Mack truck, 6'2". Some think he could even play linebacker. You know, are these guys that could be the number three or the number four in the defensive back class at Georgia? Jalen Kimber is committed. I think everybody and their brother, including that pet snake Sunshine, wants to see Kelee Ringo become the second defensive back in the class at Georgia. And then it's a matter: is it McLaughlin? Is it Thompson? Is it Darian Green Warren? Is it Avante Williams? I think that board is shrinking a little bit with other names like Henry Gray looking elsewhere.
All right, so let me finish with this. You mentioned Sunshine the Snake. We showed the photos yesterday of Ringo's mom very bravely being adorned by this snake, which does not seem like something I would want. And then, yeah, there you go on video. The folks can see it. I wouldn't do that at all. I agree with Kelee Ringo, who says I could never do that. But that's kind of like one of the lasting images from the so-called scavenger hunt. Again, any kind of update on kind of the overall big picture takeaway, who liked it, who it made an impression on, you know, some possible next steps? I guess, would you mind just giving us a quick thumbnail sketch of kind of how you saw things going for the scavenger hunt this past weekend?
Okay, it was a smaller group this time, and I don't know, folks, you know, they want to sit there. Anytime Georgia has any recruiting event, they think fireworks have got to go off and major commitments have to be made, otherwise nothing really happened. I think folks will look back at G-Day and see that that was pronounced in the way that it impacted Georgia's recruiting. I'm sure you saw Kendall Milton established his official visit recently. Clearly looks to me like with this new visit, the last weekend of May, early June, it looks like he's definitely speeding up his timeline, where you have him now taking two officials in the summer. Everybody knows he's going to see LSU in mid-June as well. That's another name, LSU and Milton, which intersects with Elias Ricks, which intersects with Paris Johnson Jr. there in terms of the Kendall Milton watch. I think with the context of the scavenger hunt, I think Georgia did very well. I think they moved forward and kept pace ahead of Alabama with Amarius Mims, the 2021 offensive lineman who's the number one player in Georgia for the 2021 class. And I think, you know, just the way Georgia does things, I don't think folks really understand just that art of, like, tweeting out selfies with Coach Lanning and also tweeting out selfies with Coach Smart. It's really good publicity on social media for the Georgia program, where when every other school has guys, I don't know, grilling out and playing cornhole or playing paintball on their field, you got Georgia doing something really organic and really kind of clever and innovative across the spectrum of the industry. And I think that registers with a lot of kids.
Yeah, Jeff, that's really well said. Our great information, great inside scoop here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com in the days ahead, and we'll obviously have you for Before the Hedge, presented by Kroger, tomorrow afternoon as well. Anything else you want to lay on us before we let you go here, or do we kind of cover it all?
No, I've got something I want to lay on you, brother.
Please.
This is a question for the Dog Nation Daily and everybody out there streaming and listening in closely on your platforms. To secure the commitment of Kelee Ringo, Brandon, if Dog Nation needed you to keep that snake around your neck for 60 seconds, could you do it for Dog Nation?
No. I'd love to see Ringo be on this class. I'd love to take one for the so-called team here for the rest of Dog Nation. But that gigantic snake, when it starts moving around you, and listen, it's constricting. I mean, that is a snake that's a constrictor by nature. You put that thing on, those, you know, muscles are going to start, you know, tightening, and they're going to start wrapping around. That's just what it does. I don't know how Ringo's mom pulls this off as bravely as she does here. Frankly, I don't know how Brian Gant can have a snake like this. The whole thing to me is just, it is just unseemly. I could not, I don't want any part of this snake, Jeff. I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Okay, Brandon, let's go true Vegas Brandon Adams style in a recollection back to age 20, Brandon, in the wild days of Brandon Adams. I'm going to resurrect the recruiting of Brian Brzee. I'm going to add a Paris Johnson and a Kendall Milton to be named later. Can you hang out with Sunshine for 30 seconds for the 2020 class?
Jeff, I'm not not only am I not putting this snake around my neck, I'm not touching this thing. I've touched a snake before. They're creepy, man. They are creepy. I'm not that afraid of spiders. Some of these things that people get bothered by, they don't bother me too much. I am not messing with snakes. I am not doing that. I'm not.
So right there, folks, you have a little bit of insight. Instinctually, Brandon Adams does not like reptiles at all.
Maybe that's
why he doesn't like those swamp lizards.
That's exactly right. Maybe it all kind of ties together. That starts to make a whole lot more sense. All right, Jeff, we will see you. No reptiles in the building tomorrow for Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. And thanks for being here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update and a great, great look at everything going on with the big recruit that Georgia just got with Jalen Carter and everything else that's still yet to come. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a great day, Dog Nation.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I hate it for you, dog fans. If the only thing standing in between your favorite team getting a five-star recruit like Keely Ringo is me wrapping this snake around my neck, you're going to be watching Ringo wearing burnt orange and white, because I ain't doing it. You go watch him chasing down receivers for Tom Herman, because I am not putting that snake on. That is not going to happen. But great stuff from Jeff Sintel, and you know, really kind of interesting developments here when you start thinking about, you know, the stuff that Jacoby Cowan has said, that the Ringos and the Miltons have talked about, and some of the, you know, the ways in which Mykal Sherman has alluded to that. As I've said before, when it comes to MJ Sherman, he has been so open, and I know this is kind of in that sort of classified type territory here, but you know, there have not been a lot of games played on social media with these guys. You know, some of these recruits, maybe they are kind of playing games, but the ones that are really that nucleus for Georgia, the Miltons and the Shermans and the Ringos, for the most part, they've been pretty straightforward the entire time. And so it's pretty exciting to think about. And as I said before, and I think many of you agree, I think Jalen Carter is a massive, massive get for Georgia. And for UGA to be able to push that button yesterday, kind of changing what could have been a very different news cycle, at least to a certain extent, as Jeff Sintel and I both talked about at various times during today's show. I think that's really interesting to think about. As we go to our SEC through here, let me remind you that, listen, one of the things that nobody likes to talk about sometimes is the idea of divorce, but for some people in this audience, unfortunately, that is going to be a reality. It's something that you're going to have happen, and when it does happen, it can be a really scary situation, because there are a lot of potential pratfalls on kind of all sides of something like this. And here's what I do know. If you're ever in that position, nothing is going to matter more than getting expert advice and expert counsel. That's why the website you're going to want to remember is theatlantadivorceteam.com. Let me give it to you one more time. theatlantadivorceteam.com. My friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and I can call them friends. I've met them. We've hung out. They're good people. My friends at Merriweather and Tharp are going to give you the advice you need. It starts with a free consultation, and after that it can get even more detailed, just to kind of set you up and kind of get you back on the road towards normal again. TheAtlantaDivorceTeam.com is the website to go for all of that. CBSSports.com, using some sort of weird formula, has ranked the strength of schedules for all the teams in the SEC. Some of these are you're going to agree with. Some of these you're kind of not. South Carolina is number one on this list, according to Tom Fornelli, CBSSports.com. That is not a huge surprise. Carolina's got the crossover game against Alabama. They got to play Clemson. A&M and South Carolina both have to play Alabama and Clemson, the two teams from last year's national championship game, in the regular season. That's a bit of a challenge. Georgia actually has the second toughest schedule in the SEC, according to Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports. And obviously, a lot of that's got to do with the fact they play Notre Dame. They got the crossover game against Auburn. SEC is probably a little bit better. Crossover game against Texas A&M. Where things get a little surprising is when you get down here near the bottom, he's only got Auburn as the 11th toughest schedule. That, for me, is something that I can't really get down with. Auburn, given the fact that it plays Oregon out of conference, plays the entire SEC West. Its permanent SEC East game is Georgia. It's got the game versus Florida. I don't see how you get to an Auburn situation as anything other than one of the overall toughest schedules in the entire country. Frankly, it's one of those things that I think is going to change the discussion about some of these coaches who are kind of on shaky ground with their various employers right now, and certainly with their fan bases. the nature of the games in which these teams have to play is going to go a long way in determining who's able to hold on to their job and who's able to hold on to whatever favorability rating they may have at their schools. So I think Gus Malzahn, to kind of further this discussion, would love to think that he's only playing the 11th toughest schedule in the SEC, because that makes it a little bit easier for a guy that was on shaky ground a year ago to maybe be on a little bit more firm footing by the time 2019 rolls to an end. But he doesn't have a break. The SEC West, with the likely exception of maybe Ole Miss and for another year maybe still Arkansas, has got landmines every week. You know, I'm not high on Florida to the tune of being ranked at the end of the year what a lot of people are going to have them ranked at the beginning. Yet it's still not an easy game. Not an easy game at all. And, of course, Georgia's a team that Auburn never beats anymore. I think the schedule that Auburn plays this year, and Auburn, to its credit, plays tough schedule almost every year, but the schedule they play this year certainly puts them in the category of being higher than the 11th toughest schedule in the SEC. He's got Tennessee at number six. You know, the issue there is you got to play Alabama every single year, and that's a team, once again, in Jeremy Pruitt, who needs some wins. He's got some recruiting momentum. You can't deny that. But he needs to get some wins on the field, and as of right now, with that schedule, it's a little bit hard to tell where they're going to come from. Easiest schedule in the SEC, and you may think this is kind of funny, it is Alabama. Now, Alabama has played a non-conference game, kind of a Power 5 team every single year, and a lot of these cases, this has been the Florida States, the USC's, the Michigan's of the world. This year, it's only Duke, and that's not a tough game. The crossover game is typically, as it is every year, Tennessee. Then you got South Carolina in the mix there as well. So Alabama will once again get the feast on a bit, at least in the regular season, of an easy schedule, and we'll see how they navigate that. My guess is they'll be fine the regular season, because certainly, even if you're an elite team, there is an advantage to be had from playing an easy schedule, and on paper, Alabama gets to do that again. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, as a part of our Dog Nation Days of Summer, we're relaxed. We're kind of in a sort of a lighter mood on the show. Hopefully we'll have a light mood every single day. But this is a chance to kind of get more of your comments in a part of the regular broadcast. And if you can't listen to us live or watch us live, you can always reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. You can put a comment in the comment section when we post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. Want to get some of your thoughts on the summer Q&A. Let me see the questions one more time. We'll kind of rattle through this. Georgia got Jalen Carter. To me, that's a big-time defensive line get. Does that calm your fears, or do you think that calms the rest of Dog Nation's fears when it comes to some of the defensive line recruiting concerns? Because as Connor Riley wrote this morning as part of Good Day UGA, there have been a lot of those as of late. I think Carter, to me, is an emphatic response to that. We'll give you a chance to weigh in. I talked yesterday about Solomon Kinley being an unsung hero for Georgia. I'd love to hear you weigh in on a Georgia player like Kinley who maybe doesn't get enough credit, who's better than the attention that he typically receives. And with the good news potentially about Zamir White yesterday and the good news about George Pickens, between those two, who do you think makes the bigger impact for Georgia this season? You can take some time to weigh in on all of that, and we'll get your comments as a part of our program here today. Matt Rukavine on the subject of schedules for Alabama says, this is on Facebook, once you're a media darling, you can play the MAC and they'll laud you. Yeah, Alabama for the most part has kind of gotten that free pass. You know, last year Georgia did not get that free pass whatsoever. Remember Heather Dinich on the Feinbaum show kind of railing on Georgia's non-conference schedule? And to me, it's always weird the way the media choose to thin slice these schedule debates. It's always the out-of-conference schedule that they look at. They never look at toughest road schedule, toughest schedule in any given month, or toughest schedule overall. They look at the non-conference portion of the schedule because that's the easiest way to kind of exclude some SEC teams from the toughest overall schedule conversations. Because if you look at a national ranking of strength of schedule, assuming they're ranking them correctly the way they should based on the overall strengths of the team and not just the win-loss record from a year ago, of the top 15 tough schedules in the country in any given year, I mean, 7 or 8 of those are going to be SEC teams almost for sure. Brett Oglesby says, did George Pickens qualify? So, Brett, if you're just joining us on the program today, what Kirby Smart said yesterday when he met with reporters briefly in Macon before a speaking engagement there with some Dog fans is that right now his full expectation is that every freshman on his way into Georgia shows up on time, arrives, and is ready to go. So while that's not a specific affirmation of George Pickens' situation. It certainly is going to be taken by many, and I guess just about everybody, as the Kirby Smart's expecting good news eventually when it comes to Pickens. This was not the kind of thing they were ever going to announce specifically on him anyway. He was just going to kind of show up and be there, and Kirby Smart kind of expects that's exactly what happens. James Crump says that Jalen Carter is the biggest get in the this class concerning the future of Georgia going forth. He impacts so many things in the future. We definitely need him to sign his letter of intent. So James kind of weighing in there, very much kind of echoing what I had said before, which is when you watch the film, when you see the athleticism this young man possesses, that's definitely the kind of thing that's going to get you excited there for sure. Nadab Joseph names comes up here in the comment section. At this point in time, one of the things you've seen, Santiago Diarn, by the way, asking about Nadab Joseph, the former 2018 signing at defensive back. At this point in time, one of the things you've seen with Joseph on his own social media, he shared a lot of offers he's gotten from other programs. Colorado and Mel Tucker offered him, for instance. Baylor's offered him. Kentucky, I think, offered Nadab Joseph. At this point in time, it seems more likely to me, just given how deep Georgia is at the defensive back position, that when he plays again, it's more likely that he will play for somebody else. Either way, we'll keep your comments going. And if you're listening radio or podcast, you want to weigh in, you can hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. We love to have your comments. Let me also tell you on the way out the door here that obviously Dog Nation Daily is a great way to get UGA news each and every day, but when you want Atlanta news now, all the things you care about in the city of Atlanta and the Atlanta area, the place to go is AJC.com. The serious stuff, the weekend preparations, sports like the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United, everything in between. You can get Atlanta news now at AJC.com. Check it out throughout the day to stay up to date on everything happening in the city. All right, let's get ready to wrap up our program in style the way we always do. And, boy, you want to talk about some upset folks. A lot of Florida fans. Now, they weren't really ever in it on Jalen Carter that I know of. Certainly weren't one of his top three. But to see Georgia swooping in to a place like Apopka, which ought to be Florida Gator territory. I mean, in previous coaching regimes, it probably was Gator country for sure. But to see Georgia swoop into the Sunshine State and get a guy like Jalen Carter is a real blow to the Florida Gators. And it's, sometimes the kids like to say, you hate to see it if you're a Gators fan, that you can't even get in there and get involved in a guy like Carter. But for Georgia fans, that's an awful fun thing to think about. And something else that's fun to think about, our Gator Hater Updater. It has now been 934 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That's a number that's going to keep going up for quite some time, and we can't wait to watch it grow. Hope to see you back here tomorrow once again for Dog Nation Daily. Y'all have a great day, everybody.